If you take your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to be a place to know God. As a church, we want to be a place where we can grow together in the knowledge of God. We are told in the scripture that we should grow in our knowledge of Him. And we want to make sure that that's accurate and our understanding of who He is really matches the scripture. Sometimes we like to define God in our own terms. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with someone who probably comes from some sort of religious background, or at least they have some God talk in their life, and that tends to come out around you because perhaps they know you're a believer. And so you hear how they describe God, and sometimes it's accurate, but many times it's actually not very accurate. And so as believers, we want to make sure that we have an accurate understanding of who God is and our knowledge of Him so that we can really speak truth into people's lives. And when it is a skewed perspective of who He is, then we can really help them understand. And there's probably a temptation, and you've probably experienced this in your life, where we would love to have the opportunity to define God how we think He should be. But that's not our place, and we must resist that kind of thought process and temptation, that we have to rely solely on the scripture and how God has said, no, this is actually how I am. And that sometimes goes against our flesh and goes against our thinking process, but it's absolutely the truth in how He has revealed Himself and how He wants us to think about Him. And so this is a very important study. We want to make sure that this knowledge that we grow in of our God actually doesn't just add to our information in our minds, but it actually connects with our hearts. And I think when you grow in your knowledge of God and it's connecting to your heart, it helps us to worship better, it helps us to serve better, and hopefully it helps your personal spiritual life. And mentioned as well that we want to have the scriptures shaping our worldview. And it's so crucial in our day and age that we maintain the correct biblical worldview at every point. And so let's look at some scripture here as we begin that I think helps us understand why a study like this is so important. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking captive every thought to the obedience to Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." So we have this, this really spiritual warfare happening where we want to make sure that we are as there's all kinds of other competing thoughts and voices, that we are making sure that every single one of our thoughts really comes into compliance with who God is. That we are, as it says, destroying anything that would go against any lofty thing that would be contrary to the knowledge of God. So there's a very active approach in our knowledge of God, that we're using it carefully, and we're using that knowledge to compare to every single thought that we have. How great would it be as believers if we would all day long take what we know about God and all the other crazy thoughts that we have in a day, and we would use our knowledge of God to really combat all of those. Hopefully that process is happening in your life at some point in the day. But imagine if it was happening all day long. And that's what every anxious thought. Imagine if you could count up even last week how many times you had a thought that caused you to worry or be anxious. I mean, that's probably a recurring problem for all of us, because we love people and people have problems, right? And we're involved in relationships, and when relationships are real, we understand there are problems, and so we get concerned about the people we love and care for. And then we start to think thoughts about, well, what's going on in their situation and what's going on in their lives, and we start to get anxious, not only just for our own lives, but those for the lives that we care about. There's not a parent in this room that I'm sure does not worry on a regular basis about their children. There's probably parents here tonight who are carrying major burdens about their children and what God has for them in this season of life and what he's allowing them to go through. But what if we took every single anxious thought that we have, whether it be about your children or your spouse or fill in the blank, we took every single thought captive and compared it to what we know about the knowledge of God. Man, I really think we would live lives with so much more freedom. But because many times we do entertain these thoughts that are contrary to who God is and what he's revealed to us, then we spend a lot of our days very anxious and concerned and worried. And that's just one aspect of life. Compound that over and over in every aspect of life. If we would just take our knowledge of God and use it in every situation, imagine the freedom that we would have to serve and worship and just enjoy our God and what he allows us to go through. Let's look at another text, Ephesians. I just want to kind of scan through the New Testament here. Turn to Ephesians, please. Chapter 1. Verse 16. Actually, let's start 15. It's one of Paul's prayer. For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul prays for these believers. So we're talking about this knowledge of God is more than just salvation knowledge. But he prays that they would continually have this understanding of who God is, this spirit about them of understanding this wisdom and the knowledge that God has revealed about himself. And so that's a prayer that we could, through this study, pray for ourselves, that God would take all this information about who he is, and we're going to walk through it systematically over the next several weeks, that God would take all that, but it wouldn't just be information, but he would use it in our lives to give us that spirit of wisdom and really understanding the revelation that he has given to us about himself. Look at chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Paul says that he's given gifts to the church in verse 11 in form of leadership. In verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And this is to happen until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so we have the opportunity to continually learn so that we would grow and mature, and part of that maturing would be obtain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So as we grow in our faith, there's this maturing process that God has for us, and part of that is understanding who Christ is and what he has done. So this is more than just salvation knowledge. It's a deep knowledge of Christ that the believer needs to continually grow in for that spiritual maturity. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, I'll read that. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So there should be a pursuit in our lives to knowing Christ and knowing more about him in an intimate way. Look at Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Colossians 1, 10 through 12. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what I want you to understand and take away from tonight is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a child of God who knows God personally, it is important that we continue to grow in our knowledge of him. You say, oh, I've studied the attributes of God before. You cannot exhaust the knowledge of God. Let me just tell you, all right? It's just not possible. You may have studied this every year of your life from the time you came to know Christ. And I think that's great and appropriate. Why? Because this passage and other passages, the other passages tell us that we should be increasing in our knowledge of God. So this is a study and a pursuit that should never stop for the believer. And so we continue just rehearse and study and learn and remember, okay, this is my God. This is what he has said about himself. And we must keep pursuing that knowledge. And that's part of walking in a manner worthy of God. One more passage, if you turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter, I guess two parts of 2 Peter, but same book. 2 Peter chapter 1. We've heard from Paul's perspective as he prays that the believers would increase in their knowledge of God. We're supposed to pursue that ourselves. It's something that we should strive for. But even Peter says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So hopefully you caught the part where we're trying to focus in verse 3 there. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And how is that found? Through the true knowledge of him. And so he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So as we strive to know God, we have this plethora of information that helps us understand what a godly life looks like. Everything that we need for life and godliness is found through the true knowledge of him. Look at chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18. His final encouragement, and hopefully our encouragement as we begin as well. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of God. That's the encouragement from the New Testament. That's our responsibility. It's our privilege. And so our hearts are edified. What does it mean to be edified? It means to be built up. Our hearts are edified by growing in the knowledge of God. So I know reality is, in our group tonight, there are those who are really struggling right now. Struggling in their faith, struggling to honor God in their choices, struggling to believe that God is good. You will be edified. You will be built up. You will grow as you pursue the knowledge of God. So take this series and take this study very seriously, because it could be a great help to you. You may say, you know what, I'm going through a season of in my life where the God seems very distant and far away. I'm telling you, when you start to study the attributes of God and you let it become more than just head knowledge and you let it filter into your heart, Scripture says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And so this is something that is a tremendous opportunity ahead of us. I think that high views of God lead to greater worship. So it's my prayer that as we study these attributes of God and we increase in our knowledge of him, it affects our worship. It helps us to worship him better. High views of God help us to live holy lives. So when we're constantly rehearsing who God is and what he has for us, it really encourages us to walk in holy living. Growing in our knowledge of God, it helps us to stay God-centered, and we use that phrase a lot, and it's very purposeful. If we want God to stay in the center of our lives, we must be thinking about him. We must be consistently letting who he is, let that captivate our hearts and mind. There's a lot of things that captivate our attention today. But one part of that should be who God is and what we have in knowing him. Now, I just want to hear from the crowd tonight. What are some attributes of God? What are some, when you hear or see the title here, the attributes of God, what do you think we have in mind along those lines? Just feel free to raise your hand. And what's an attribute of God? Yes.
Love.
Okay, love.
In control.
Holiness. Holiness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Creator.
Creator.
Unchanging.
Merciful.
Wrath and justice.
Compassion.
Patient.
All
power and authority.
All power and authority. Think of others.
Omnipresent.
Self-existent.
Long-suffering.
All-knowing.
Just.
So we got a lot of work to do. Right? If we just took these things that were mentioned, and most of them that we're going to go through are exactly what you mentioned, we have a lot of material. So I don't think you can exhaust the knowledge of God. We could spend all kinds of time here. We're going to do that hopefully efficiently and real helpful in a way that's very helpful for you. But we do want to study his self-existence. What does that mean? We want to study his holiness in both aspects, his transcendence. What does the transcendence of God mean? And then his holiness as far as his moral purity. We want to talk about him being the all-powerful God and how that really has an impact on your everyday life. We want to talk about his sovereignty. We don't have to live with a perspective of God that some people do in the history of Christianity, that God was this creator and the great clockmaker, and he kind of wound things up and let it go. We don't have to live with that kind of fear. People talk about random events, and we want to have our theology instruct our mind. Is there really such thing as a random event? For a believer in the sovereignty of God, should we really use that term, this random thing happened to me today? Is that even possible with a God that is sovereign? So we want to take all of this information about who God is and let it really have an impact on our everyday life and thinking, so we can literally strive to grow to the place where the expectation, so we take every thought captive to where it really complies to who God is. So what is an attribute? An attribute is the quality of a person, all right? It's a feature that defines them. We talk about God. We want to talk about his character, his nature, his perfections. That may be one way to define it. One person said this: the attributes of God are those distinguishing characteristics of the divine nature which are inseparable from the idea of God, and which constitute the basis and ground for his various manifestations. And so we have this idea of God, and he has revealed himself to us, and we should strive like those in the scriptures. Moses said, "Who is like you among gods?" The psalmist said, "Who is like you?" The prophets said, "Who is a God like you?" And so we have this pursuit from man's perspective, from the creature, creator, the distinction. From our perspective, we ask, what are you like? Who is like you? And the scripture defines that for us. A couple things for you to think about, and I want you just to make sure we understand, is that all the attributes of God, all of them, are present in the three persons of the Godhead. All right? So all the attributes of God are present in the three persons of the Godhead. So when we talk about God's holiness, we don't separate that from and make a distinction from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We understand that his attributes are present in all three persons. We want to also understand that there is a difference in the ministry of the Trinity, but when we have the attributes and we understand that Christ came, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that at some point and how his attributes, as the scripture tells us that he basically laid down the independent use of those attributes, but they have always been eternally in God. So from the very beginning, all of his attributes were there, and they always will be. So that's important for us to understand. We can't separate his attributes. They work perfectly together. So when we talk about his wrath at the same time as his love, there's not like different slices of the pie. We don't want to think about it that way, that, okay, all right, this part of God is love, and then this part is wrath, and then this is part of his sovereignty. That's not how we want to view this. We want to view it as all of the attributes are really woven together in his essence. And so they are all operating at the very same time. And they all work perfectly together all the time. So you have, which is a lot of times where people wrestle, you have the goodness of God. He's good in every way. And when that connects to his sovereignty, we tend to want to separate those two. And we hear the question, how could a good God allow? And there's the tension, right? How could a good God allow such an experience in my life that is so hard? Well, we want to understand that those two work perfectly together. His goodness is operating at the same time as his sovereignty, and they work perfectly at the same time as his love and at the same time as his discipline. And the more we grow to understand our God, it helps us in our everyday lives to be able to handle the things that he allows into our lives. So all of the attributes are working together perfectly at the same time. So let me just give you five quick things to help us. This is just more of an introduction. We'll actually get into the material of start some of the attributes next week, Lord willing. But a study of the attributes of God, it's helpful, right? It's helpful for our enjoyment of God. What does the Westminster Catechism say? What is the chief end of man? Man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's part of our responsibility. We want to glorify him, but we want to enjoy him. And understanding who he is as we get to know him helps us enjoy him more and more. So this study, hopefully, we'll do this in all of our lives, where our personal relationship with him grows as we understand his character. And there's the intimacy between us it really grows and increases. I would suggest as well a study of the attributes of God. It's helpful for our faith and our hope. When we remind ourselves who God is, that He is faithful, right? That He will fulfill His promises, that He is able. Our God is able to accomplish anything. When we remind ourselves of these revelations of God, of how He has revealed Himself to us, then it increases our faith. When you go to Israel today, and we were out, Mount Carmel, and where Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, and just to see and rehearse that scene, that 3-year drought had taken place, and then Elijah was so bold in his knowledge of God that he was going to do whatever, and he said, "Now let pour more water on that thing." And basically mocking or provoking the prophets of Baal. And he was so confident in God's power that God was going to do something amazing. And God did. And God provided rain. And it was very clear from Elijah's perspective how much his knowledge of God was instructing his everyday experience. And so it increases our faith, and it also increases our hope. When we look around and it seems like the world is falling apart, and some people, you turn on the TV and, you know, because the government's been shut, like life shut down. Life is going on just fine. I mean, we want things to be solved probably, and I get all that, but, you know, God is in control. And He has a plan beyond America. Imagine that. You know, He's got a glorious plan, and we're a small little piece of it. But that gives us hope when we turn on the TV or when we hear such negativity around us. Remembering who our God is and His wonderful plan, it really increases our faith and our hope. I would as well say that a study of the attributes of God, I mentioned it earlier, it enhances our worship. You look at the psalmist. And the psalmist's perspective of who God was continually came out in his worship. Psalm 7, verse 17, "I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness." So what he knew about his God was a righteous God. It caused him to give thanks, and it continues, "And will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." So his knowledge of God was having an impact on his worship. Psalm 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." So we sing and we praise our God because of how He has revealed Himself to us. So it affects and enhances our worship. I would suggest a study of God is really something that enhances our prayer life. And I would say one of the greatest things that started this process for me in my life was as a freshman at Northland Baptist Bible College when Dr. Olaw started out by, you know, he would have all the freshmen and he'd say, "You know what? You're going to start a biography of God. You're going to start a biography of God. And you're going to start going through the scriptures and you're basically going to take what God has revealed about Himself." And at 18 years of age, that I was starting to let my mind be instructed by what the scripture told me about my God. Not what I thought at 18 my God should be or what He should look like. No, it was the opposite. I was understanding for the first time who God is and how He has revealed Himself. And I think the attributes of God have been the greatest tool to increase my prayer life. So as I have time to spend personal time with the Lord, I start with all of His attributes. That's my time of praise. And it takes, you know, to be able to work through, it takes a long time. But it's such an intimate experience I have with my God when I talk about his power, and then I rehearse in the scripture how he has revealed his power, and then I apply it to my life and the things that need to happen in my life according to my perspective. But I'm choosing to believe what his power can do in my life. And then you work to his presence. And then you work to his knowledge of how much he cares and he's intimately involved in my life that very day. And then his sovereignty. And then his mercy and grace in my salvation. And then you move to all of the other aspects of who he is. And I'm telling you, the attributes of God enhance your prayer life. If you just spend time on a regular basis walking through, praising God for who he is, and then letting that apply, you walk away from that experience refreshed, encouraged, hopeful, strengthened, and I could go on and on about how the attributes of God have shaped my prayer life. And this is something that perhaps maybe you have not taken advantage of, but as we go through this time together, you will start letting that be really something that could really cause your prayer life to grow and expand. And I think that's the goal, as we read in the scripture. And then as well, I would say, seeking to know God more, it enhances our study and enriches our study of the scripture. Talked about that biography of God. Maybe this is the time to start something like that, where you could start journaling how God has revealed himself. And then as you do so, you when you open up the Word of God, it, you know, some of you are on Bible reading plans and you're only a few days into January, right? And you're starting to slip a little bit, and it's starting to, I'm not so resolute anymore, and I'm having a hard time keeping up. And Maybe going through your scripture reading, trying to think through the lens, what is God revealing about himself in this passage? And so you're looking for every opportunity for God to really instruct your mind. So your Bible reading isn't just to check your little passage off so you can get through the Bible in a year, but it's actually causing you to know more and more who your God is. And perhaps things that you've learned before, but perhaps things you haven't noticed in the past that are very, very helpful. Daniel tells us that those who are they have a strong knowledge of God, they are strong and they take action. And that's where we want to be. We want to be a people who, when we understand who our God is, then we act accordingly. And so these are just five simple reasons that I think this study is very important, and I think will be helpful for us. And I want it to be very, very practical. I want it to be something that we can, as we talk about the power of God, that we can use that all throughout the week to meditate on. And in every situation we come up against where we experience resistance or maybe we're tempted to fear, then that knowledge of God, who in his power and his ability, that helps us and really it causes us to grow. And then as we go through all the different attributes from there, it's my prayer that God will use it in a great way. So this was just kind of an introductory part tonight, and I would love to have some conversation as we go through. And so I mentioned at some point not long ago, I can't remember where publicly I've said this, but I've thought about having our Sunday nights in Altizer Hall, just so it was a little closer together and it would be easier for mics to go through. We'll let you know if we do that. We may wait till it's renovated, Lord willing, at some point this year. But sometimes this big room, it feels like we're far away, and I want it to be close and intimate. And so we'll try to have some conversation. So be thinking about that as we go through this, that you have a lot to contribute, and how the attributes of God have helped you in your personal life. And I think God will use it for his glory. And hopefully, as the scripture says, we will grow as a result. And so let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing as we go. God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you that you have given us all that we need for life and godliness. And it's through the knowledge of you. And so, Lord, help us to really desire as Paul desired, that we would know you and your power, the power of your resurrection. And Lord, I pray that we would take this opportunity to let your attributes and the knowledge of you really cause growth in our life, in our prayer lives, in our time of study, in our worship. Lord, I pray that you would work for your glory. Thank you for each person who's come this evening, and I pray that as we go into a very busy work week, that you would glorify yourself through us. I pray that we would be taking every thought captive and comparing it to what we know about you. Lord, I pray that our biography of you would be growing and increasing. And Lord, we just are so thankful that you have not left us alone, but that you have given us your Spirit to really help us understand who you are and your word. Thank you for the time tonight. We ask your blessing as we go from this place. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.